Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Stay tuned for more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff like you.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you this evening?
I'm still 6 feet above, not 6 feet under, so I guess I'm ahead.
Oh, nice, nice. Same here. I'm still kicking, still breathing. I always touch base with the latest breaking news before we come on air because there's so much of it lately. I come across an article tonight. Antonio Brown from Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He obtained a fake COVID-19 vaccination card. So he could go around the NFL's vaccination policy. I find it pretty ridiculous that we live in a free nation and we have to do stuff like that to get around tyrannical behavior. As you know, the starting point guard for the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving, he has been benched for the last however long since he refused to get the vaccination. So they said, well, if you're not going to get the vaccination, then you don't play. And he said, okay, I won't play. And it's nice to see popular sports figures, especially Kyrie Irving, not so much Antonio Brown because he tried to find a way around it rather than just fight against it. But Kyrie Irving, I have a lot of respect for that because he is making a sacrifice to stand up for what he believes in. And that, to me, is a true American patriot and freedom fighter. And we need more Kyrie Irvings in this world. So that's, I just wanted to bring that up right away.
I can't wait. I'm sure there's going to be a big wave of angry white liberals that are suddenly going to say that sports stars shouldn't be making political statements before games.
Yeah. there's so much stuff, honestly, Chris, my head, dude, honestly, this week, it's like a tangled web of craziness, because when you said that, you know, about what a whining liberal is going to say, didn't we just hear in a Kyle Rittenhouse court hearing trial that they were making light of the situation as far as when Anthony Huber attacked Kyle Rittenhouse with a skateboard? And he's like, a skateboard, ladies and gentlemen, a skateboard. Well, and
right.
What's that story that you just forwarded to me out of Santa Ana, California? You care to weigh in on that one?
Well, sure. I'm going to ask our audience a quick quiz question, though, first. From a medical perspective, what's the difference between a skateboard and a baseball bat when it hits you in the head? The answer to that is nothing, okay? Force trauma. Cancel culture strikes again. CNN has came out and said that you can't kill someone with a skateboard. And, you know, that's the next thing on the cancel culture list. We're going to cancel out blunt force trauma because it doesn't fit the Democrat agenda. But Santa Ana, California, leave it to Crazy Cali to prove everybody else wrong. There was a fight that went down in Santa Ana, I believe it was 2 days ago. Don't quote me on that. I'd have to go back and pull the article up to look at the date again. But I believe a couple days ago, there was a fight that broke out between some individuals. One guy had a skateboard, and he commenced to beating his victim with the skateboard in the head, and that victim has died of blunt force trauma head injuries. They tried to cancel out blunt force trauma and subdural hematomas, but once again, science wins. This shit's real, and yes, you can kill someone with a skateboard quite easily.
So you're not saying that Kyle Rittenhouse actually acted in self-defense then, are you?
You know what? I'm just saying what my enemy loves to say. Follow the science. Yes, blunt force trauma to the head from a skateboard can't back kill you.
Yeah. And guess what else we found out relating to all of this? So the Dan O'Donnell Show off of 1130 WISN News Talk, the Dan O'Donnell Show comes out with, through this trial we consistently heard about the jump kick man, right? They always referred to the black guy that jump kick Kyle Rittenhouse in the face as the jump kick man. Well,
right.
It turns out the Dan O'Donnell Show breaks this story, right? I'm going to read it right out of his article, and I'm not going to read the whole article, but this is what it says. The Dan O'Donnell Show can now report exclusively that Jump Kick Man is a 40-year-old black male from Kenosha with an extensive criminal record who was at the time of the Rittenhouse shootings on probation following a conviction for domestic violence battery. He faced a maximum sentence of 9 months in jail, but less than 2 months before he kicked Rittenhouse, he accepted a plea deal that netted him 12 months probation. The following year, he violated the terms of his probation and was sentenced to 7 months in jail. Now, had Jump Kick Man been sentenced to even 2 months in jail instead of probation, he probably would not have been in Kenosha the night of the shootings. Well, he wouldn't have been if he would have been in jail. His kick, which prompted Rittenhouse to fire two shots at him, may well have provoked Huber, who died in this, to strike Rittenhouse with, what? A skateboard, a second time, causing Rittenhouse to shoot and kill him. That, in turn, prompted Grosskreutz to advance on Rittenhouse and draw his handgun on him, which caused Rittenhouse to shoot him in the arm. So, moral of the story, folks, is our justice system is failing us. Not in just in this case, but Grosskreutz, a story come out, just breaking news story on Twitter right before we come on air, that Grosskreutz was charged with a DUI just months before this incident with Rittenhouse. And 2 days before his trial, the charges were dropped. You think the defense had something to do with that? Because, and here's why I'm asking that question, because this 40-year-old man that they call Jump Kick Man, actually, it was reported through sources through this Dan O'Donnell that he tried to make a deal with prosecutors in order to testify for the prosecution, and they turned him down. So now you got two stories of two people that were directly involved in this Rittenhouse trial that either made a deal with the district attorney or tried to make a deal. I cannot confirm or deny the fact that Grosskreutz made a deal with the prosecution, but it certainly looks that way. Ladies and gentlemen, we read not just stories about Rittenhouse or things involving Rittenhouse. I came across a story earlier today, Chris, that honestly, I'm just pissed off about it. There's a, and I can't remember where the story was, so I'm just going to paraphrase what I read. I believe he's 20 years old, went to trial. He's 18 or 20, went to trial for raping and sexually assaulting four women. And he was found guilty, but the judge in the case said, I do not think jail time is appropriate. And one of the victims that happened to be in the courtroom that day, she immediately started crying. And, I mean, rightfully so, and actually got up out of the courtroom and went to the bathroom and started puking. And I have a friend of mine that was sexually assaulted, and I'm not going to say who it was, but I said, you need to report this. And she goes, there is no point. Nothing gets done anyway. I said, this creep is going to walk around and do it to another person and another person and another person. She goes, I am not going to ruin my reputation or go through all of that hassle through media and all of that stuff and be ridiculed and called a liar and all of that when nothing's going to get done about it anyway. And then she gave me the number of how many people, women that are raped that don't report it because they're scared of ridicule. And basically, you know, when a woman gets raped, you know and I know that most times they turn around and try to call the woman a liar, or she asked for it, or she shouldn't have been wearing that, or she should have known better to go alone with the guy. You know, that it really irritated me when I read that story. They found the guy guilty, and they gave him, I think, 7 or 8 years probation with zero jail time. And, you know, these poor women that do get sexually assaulted or are raped legitimately, they have no voice. And how many my mind is so jumbled right now because how do we as a country sit back and just continue to allow these kinds of things to happen and not be outraged? But we're outraged over a Confederate flag. Or we're outraged over racism, fake racism, I should say. I shouldn't say we shouldn't be outraged over racism, but fake racism, you know, like the lady from, help me out here, Chris. You're tongue twister tonight, huh?
It's a full moon. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm going to, I'm finding it. MSNBC. I'm sorry, MSNBC. Thank you. So this lady comes out. Oh, boy. She calls the trucking industry basically a bunch of racists. They're full of 55-year-old white or older white males that are racist. Okay? This is in response to our truck driver, supposed truck driver shortage, right? Okay. And her name is Tiffany Cross. Right? Is it Tiffany Cross? Host Tiffany Cross suggests diversifying the sector will lessen road rage. Okay. So Tiffany Cross shamed the trucking industry Sunday for being predominantly made up of white male truckers who voted for former President Trump. And you know what, Tiffany Cross? You are completely out of line. And if I was your boss, I would fire you, because what you just said is provoking racism. Because I am a truck driver. I've been a truck driver for 20 years. And I can assure you that the trucking industry is not predominantly made up of white male truckers who voted for President Trump. As a matter of fact, I'm one of those truckers that is 44 and white that did not vote for Trump either time. And when I drive down the roads, the interstates of this great nation, you know what I see driving truck? I see Eastern Europeans. They happen to be white, most of them. I see Somalians. I see the gentleman from India, I believe. What do they call them, the sheiks or the sheikhs? Forgive me for not pronouncing that right. Yeah. I see Hispanic. I see Cuban. I see women drivers, and they're not all predominantly white. There's a lot of black and white women drivers out there. And I want my response to Miss Tiffany Cross. The trucking industry is probably one of the most diverse industries in the world as far as race, religion, any of that. And you as an MSNBC, whatever you want to call yourself, a journalist or a spokesperson or whatever you want to call yourself, you should be ashamed of yourself for provoking more racism in an already divided country, and especially to an industry that worked from day one in this through this pandemic that you call it, and we faced this coronavirus or whatever this is head on. We didn't complain about it. We didn't have, at the beginning of this, we didn't have proper protection, or PPE. We didn't have masks. We didn't have hand sanitizer. A lot of the places put the porta potties out in the middle of their parking lot and never cleaned them. And we got treated like complete garbage through the beginning stages of this pandemic. So for you to come and even, I would prefer that she never even mentions the trucking industry. I prefer that it never comes out of her mouth, because she has no business, she has no right. And frankly, I'm just going to say this, Tiffany Cross, go fuck yourself. I'm done with my rant.
Okay.
What say you, Chris?
You know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to just completely bag on MSNBC. That is the absolute worst network out there. Absolute complete propaganda. Those people are literally, if they could get 100,000 people on each side to line up and battle each other with medieval weapons and resulting in 75,000 casualties over a fight that they started that was completely untrue, they would sit there and laugh about it and talk about what a great job they just did. Those people, they are absolute. I think they do a psychological test in order to become an anchor on that station, and you've got to be able to prove that you're a damn sociopath. I mean, it just, literally, you could point a gun at their heads and tell them, you know, if you say one more thing that's a lie, I'm going to pull the trigger. And they would look you dead in the eyes with the barrel at their head, and they would tell you a lie. Those people literally have no ability whatsoever to tell the truth. And that I say that in my experience with some of the stuff that they've reported, where I knew the actual story, and then I saw the absolute complete propaganda garbage that they broadcast, and I cannot believe that millions of people actually fall for their bullshit. Horrible, horrible station. They're actually worse than CNN. They just don't have that same number of viewers.
Right. Before I move on and get into what the truck driving shortage a report that come out, if you are listening and you want to get on air and share your opinion or your thoughts to agree with us or to disagree with us, just do it respectfully. That's all we ask. If you want to get on here and your opinion of what we're talking about is completely different than what ours is, that is great. We welcome that with open arms, as long as you do it respectfully. The guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And when you call in, just press the number 1. That will let me know on my switchboard that, hey, I want to come on air. I got something to say. So that number again is 516-387-1733, and then press the number 1 to let us know you want to come on air. So moving on to this, you know, that MSNBC story with that numbnuts that said that we're racist. And before I move on, what irritates me is that why is it it's the only these black people that can call white people racist or white supremacists because they don't agree with their political opinion or political stance. But as soon as a white person calls a black person racist, then we're automatically deemed a white supremacist. Oh, yep, see, he's a white supremacist. He just proved it. Oh, but it doesn't work both ways. I see how that goes. Anyway, there's a new report from the research arm of the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, OOIDA, we call them OIDA, suggests that current supply chain problems are caused not by a shortage of available drivers, but by waiting long hours at shippers and receivers. A recent report issued by OIDA Foundation seeks to combat the mainstream media and the American Trucking Association, a.k.a. the ATA, their narrative that the trucking industry is short 80,000 drivers. So this is an article I read off of CDL Life. I'd like to give people credit for the articles that they write because that's where I'm getting my news from, and they deserve the credit for it. I didn't write the article. They did. So based on a survey of more than 900 drivers, the report found that a majority of drivers spend between 12 and 20 hours each week waiting to load and unload their truck. In other words, they spend 20 to 30% of their possible compensated drive time in detention. One of the survey respondents stated that this is one of the biggest issues affecting hours of service and safety. Drivers encountering unexpected long detention feel forced to drive faster, harder, and longer to make up perceived lost time. And I'll finish here in 2 seconds, Chris. We're at 6.5 of 11 hours of driving, industry average, said J.B. Hunt, Senior Vice President, Corporate Safety, Security, and Driver Personnel, Greer Woodruff. What were you going to say, Chris?
Oh, no. I'm totally agreeing with you there. But, yeah, I mean, we absolutely have a capacity problem. I'm glad that they brought in some guy from some genius, you know, think tank from MIT to actually go out and compile a bunch of data and to do a bunch of study to tell you what every damn trucker has been trying to tell people for years. It's amazing. If you just maybe every once in a while listen to someone who's in the field instead of discounting them, you know, how far you could get ahead. But, yes, an MIT grad has confirmed what we all knew, what we've been trying to shout from the rooftops for a long time now. We have a capacity problem, not a driver shortage. And when you combine the overly restrictive hours of service, the forced compliance through the electronic logging device, which is essentially like an ankle bracelet for people who have not been convicted of anything, when you combine those two with shippers and receivers that just don't care, take a long time. You combine all that, and, well, you get the crisis that we have, which is the, you said this earlier, is the exact crisis that we warned people was going to happen when they made the ELD mandate take effect, and everybody said, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. Oops, except now it affects you. So you know what? Enjoy waiting for 3 months for your package from China off of Wish. Should have listened to us. You still there, Jeremy? Okay, I don't know what happened to Jeremy. Oh, it looks like he is.
I'm back. I was just checking to see a caller there, but they're just listening, so. They're doing this, ladies and gentlemen, they're claiming this 80,000 shortage of drivers to usher in 18-year-old truckers that can go across state lines. Now, in my opinion, but we got to fix the supply chain. We got all the answers. Listen, if you had all the answers, we wouldn't be in this mess to begin with. So in my opinion, we don't need to add 18-year-old drivers coming over state lines. There's a reason we have 18, 19, 20-year-old drivers stay in state in order for them to gain the proper experience on how to handle their trucks in state driving, because this country is a very diverse country as far as landscape, road conditions, the width of the roads, and everything is different in every state that you go to. So it's very important that you take a couple of years, if you're an 18-year-old, to drive in-state and get used to your truck. The problem we are facing in our industry, in the trucking industry, is not a shortage of truck drivers. It is the efficiency of shippers and receivers, holding us up at a shipper or receiver for hours on end, taking away our drive time, the hours of service restrictions, the ELD constantly staring you in the face, telling you when and how you're tired. When we were all on paper logs, people were like, well, you were a cheater because you lied what you were doing. You're damn right I did. You know why I lied what I was doing? Because I was using my common sense. And if I was tired, I stopped and I took a three-hour nap if I needed to. I'm not a napper per se, but there's guys that are. And I was a much safer driver when I didn't have a clock staring me in the face. I went 65 miles an hour everywhere I went. I didn't give two shits if the world passed me by. I didn't care. And you know what? When I would Google search how long does it take to get from Chicago, Illinois to Joplin, Missouri, and it said 7 hours or 8 hours and 30 minutes. That's what I would write that I drove, 8 hours and 30 minutes. And if I stopped along the way, I would say that I stopped. If I stopped for 3 hours, I might have lied about that or cheated, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I did do that. You know why? Because I was using my common sense and my ability and my skill on what was best for me to be safe, the safest I possibly could out here on these interstates and highways. And you know what? I have never, ever had an at-fault accident since I've been a truck driver. So what does that tell you? My common sense might actually work. But that's what they're pushing, this fake narrative of a driver shortage. And we don't have a driver shortage. We need shippers and receivers to become more efficient, and we need regulations backed off a lot. Should there be no regulations? No, I do believe we need some sort of regulation. And that's why we need a think tank of drivers that actually sits down with government officials that listen to us and say, okay, in my opinion, in just mine, if you're new to the industry, you just got out of truck driving school, you should have restrictive provisions on your CDL for the first 4 years of owning your CDL until you get your license renewed. And those restrictive provisions maybe say that you're only allowed to drive 8.5 or 9 hours a day, or 8 hours a day, whatever. I don't know what those provisions are. I mean, those would have to be calculated out according to data and studies. That's just one of my ideas. The second one, yeah, you're required to use an ELD the first 4 years you're driving a truck. So you can get, you know, down what it takes you to get from point A to point B and conditions and all that. But after you gain some experience, like I've got, I don't know, probably close to 3 million miles under my belt. After you guys like me that have been in the industry for 20 years, and I'm not saying by any means do I know everything, because I don't. I know a lot. That's all I know. And if you ever say as a truck driver, well, I know everything, get out of my way, then you need to hang your keys up. But guys like me that have the experience, guys like Chris, guys like I got a million friends that if you added us all up, I'm sure we had well over 100 million miles under our belt. We know what we're doing. We're pretty experienced drivers in all road weather conditions and road conditions. Not saying that we can't mess up every once in a while because humans mess up. But then they should be a little bit less restricted. Unless, of course, they continuously get violations from the DOT. And then guess what? The penalty is the ELD. That shouldn't be a mandatory item. That should be a penalty. No, 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 no. You get back on the ELD until you straighten your act up. But they don't do that. They don't use common sense in this industry. They just keep on handing out more restrictions and legislation like it's a Tootsie Roll at a parade, you know, and it's not working for this industry. If you guys have anything you want to add to this conversation, by all means, please call in. We'd love to hear from you. Last week we had a bunch of great callers, 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. And then when you get in, just press the number 1, and that'll let my switchboard know that, hey, I have something to say. And we don't care if it is completely opposite of what our opinion is or what our beliefs or thoughts are. That's the best part about this show. Then we can have a conversation. We can try to understand each other. But don't get on here and think you're going to, well, I'm going to start calling you cuss words and you're a dumbass or anything like that, because then you're just going to, we're going to get a bad phone connection and, you know, and then our day is going to go on and you're going to sit behind there pissed off. But no, so that's my opinion on the matter. Chris, do you want to add anything to that before we move on?
Well, I don't want to try to rehash the ELD argument again, because we've been having this for years, and the hours of service as well. But, you know, my belief is still, you know, if they want to limit us to 11 hours of driving a day, then limit us to 11 hours of driving a day. Let us determine the rest of our schedule as we see fit, the way every other person out there does. You know, I'd love to see the average American operate where at the 14-hour mark of their day, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, they have to shut down right there. They can't drive home. God forbid you drop the kids off, you know, at the daycare at 7 a.m., and then you went to work, you know, and then you had a fundraiser dinner you had to go to that ran a little bit longer, and now you're trying to get home. And, well, you know what? If you can't be back in your driveway by 9 p.m., you're just going to have to pull your car to the shoulder wherever you are at 9 o'clock, and you're just going to have to sleep there and start tomorrow fresh, you know. No, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that type of micromanagement, and it's ridiculous. But we all know what it is, and I've said this before. The government always has a ready-to-go solution for the problem it created, and that's where we are right now. They manufactured this crisis when they introduced ridiculous hours of service. That drove a lot of the experienced drivers out of the industry. They brought in a whole bunch of rookies, put them through crazy minimal training, and allowed them to just run the country. It ran the accident rate through the roof. Then they said, okay, oh, my God, it's because they're tired. We have a solution for that. We have to do these electronic logs, which they arrived at conveniently after Qualcomm bribed Congress with several million dollars in campaign contributions. All of a sudden, Qualcomm had the solution. They were one of the biggest marketers of the original ELDs. And they put these electronic devices in here. They said everybody has to give them. Qualcomm sees their profits go through the roof. A lot of people in Congress invest in Qualcomm as well. They make all kinds of money. Everybody's happy. And now we have poorly trained drivers out here racing the clock and crashing into even more people. And, of course, their solution to how to fix the problem of the raising accident rate, which they caused, is to force even more electronic gadgets on us because, well, those big tech companies continue to fill their pockets with millions of dollars. Go figure.
The bottom line is everything that is happening, not just in the trucking industry but in this country, is because the rich people, the well-off, the greedy have become greedier. Not all of the rich people. I shouldn't say all of them, but a good majority of them will never be happy no matter how much money they get in their pocketbook. So they lobby these politicians in D.C. to pass more and more legislation that will just benefit the things that they own. And that's why we're in the position we're in. But, you know, I heard a story last week that it involves the trucking industry. It's kind of a different subject in the trucking industry. And I wanted to bring it up real quick. A popular TikTok user by the name of Lady Driva, her real name is Rochelle from Florida, was found this past weekend deceased in her truck. I wanted to bring this up and just bring awareness to everybody that, you know, this lady, she was 38 years old. I was a friend of hers on TikTok. I conversed with her many times through TikTok before I was permanently banned. But she was very outspoken and direct, and she didn't put up with a lot of shit. So I just wanted to say rest in peace to Rochelle. I still haven't heard what happened, how she passed. But anyway, may she rest in peace, and, you know, we'll take the – take it from here. I do see we have a caller, Chris. Let me bring this caller on and see what they want to add to this conversation. And the caller I'm going to add on is 4979. 4979, you're coming on the air right now as we speak. Hello, you are on
the air. How
are
you guys doing?
Who are we talking
to?
I'm good.
I couldn't even tell you where I am. BFE, Missouri, somewhere, I don't know. I think that you are unquestionably incorrect about your solution to the driver problem.
Okay.
And,
let's hear what your thoughts are on that.
You cannot trust the government to fix the problem that they made. I mean, let's be completely blunt and honest about it. The government is a solution looking for a problem. So the notion of having a graduated license, I used to think that way because, I mean, it makes sense. We do that with our driver's license, but think about this. Think about the red tape and bureaucracy that you've got to deal with to keep a track of that. I'm just going to ask a blunt question. Does the government really have a responsibility or a right to tell me what I can and cannot do to make a living as long as I'm not hurting somebody or stealing from somebody? I would argue no.
You make a fantastic point, sir. Fantastic point.
So, I don't know. I'm a firm believer the government ought to stay the hell out of my business all the way around.
But, yeah, you know what? I appreciate this call because it disagrees with, you know, what my thoughts are on it, which it's just my thoughts and just my opinion. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. That's just, I'd throw out my thoughts. And whenever I get a caller on and that disagrees with my thoughts and opinion and then comes back with the explanation that you did, I appreciate that more than anybody could even realize because guess what that does? It makes me think a little bit, well, hey, you know what? This guy might be right. Maybe I got to think about this a little bit differently, you know?
Just to kind of bolster my point just a little bit more, just think about what CSA was. Remember what they told us CSA was going to be about? So you could get bad carriers mm-hmm. responsible for all the accidents off the road. Last I checked, Swift's still driving at night in England. And, you know, all the guys that you see on the side of the road taking naps, the trucks taking naps, they're still out here. So what did CSA really do? It put the small mom and pop places out of business.
And Werner is the proud pioneer of the ELDs. They're still running strong. And guess what? Werner, they were threatened to get shut down because of their accident rating. That's why they had to put the ELDs in their trucks. And then the guy that sits on the board for Werner actually goes on to be the head of the FMCSA and is now working for Too Simple for the driverless trucks. So tell me how any of this is not a conflict of interest. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I recently sold my truck to come work for another company. I ran my own truck for, you know, almost half a decade. I mean, it's not easy. I don't get all the benefits, or didn't get all the benefits that Swift does, and so on and so forth. And they're whining and crying because I was able to run paper logs because I had an old truck because that's all I could afford. But I was paying full freight for tires, for fuel, for shop work, and everything else. It's like, you know, you can't keep making that argument. It's as simple as that. We can't trust the government to fix the problem they created. They are literally a solution looking for a problem. And so,
I agree with you. No. I appreciate your look at your take on this and your opinion, because that's what we need in this country, is more people like you and me and Chris to sit down and have these conversations, even though if we disagree, to allow each other to speak and share their opinion, so we can all just, instead of waiting to respond, wait to listen and understand where this person's coming from and let their point soak in and let with your thoughts and maybe move on with your opinion. And, wow, you know, pretty soon, two heads are better than one, three heads are better than two, so on and so forth. Chris, did you want to add to this?
I'm in there 100% on that. You know, the government has gotten us so busy arguing with each other about should we regulate it this way or should we regulate it that way. Everybody got distracted, got to ask, wait a minute, does the government even have the authority to regulate this at all?
So here's a weird thing. I'm a history nut. My wife calls me a history nerd, whatever that means. You know what the original motto for our country was supposed to be?
No.
I don't even know if I... the original motto suggested by Thomas Jefferson and a lot of other founding fathers was, mind your own business. Like, that's as simple as it gets. That is America's standard from day one. Mind your own business. Government minds its business. We mind ours, and everybody gets along fine. It's only in the last.
Isn't that pretty much the
years.
Platform of the Libertarian or the platform for the Libertarian Party now? Is basically mind your own business. We don't need any more garbage regulations from the government. You do you, I'll do me, as long as we're not hurting each other, kind of thing.
That's it.
Yeah,
don't murder. Steal from each other. Don't attack each other physically. You know, you do your thing, and as long as what you're doing isn't hurting anyone, then it's all good. Yeah.
And I think I would say most Americans, whether they want to agree with it or not, probably lean more on the side of being a libertarian. They just haven't taken the time to research what a libertarian is. And some people are so uneducated or uninformed that they hear libertarian and right away they make the correlation of liberal, and it's far from liberal. I'm a proud supporter of the Libertarian Party. I actually voted for a libertarian for president in Joe Jorgensen because I do believe we need change in this country. I'm not saying that Donald Trump was the worst choice. Our current administration, in my opinion, is our worst choice, but that's beside the point. I believe in the Libertarian Party's message. I follow all their stuff on social media, and you know what? I like that attitude. Just mind your own business.
I go back to the
but
gear.
I appreciate – well, go ahead, Brian. Did you have something else you wanted to add?
That's all I was going to say. I'll set up and let you guys be now. Listen to you.
Okay, hey, I appreciate the phone call, my man, and you have a safe night, and God bless, brother.
Thank you much. Bye.
All right. It's always nice hearing from our callers. We do appreciate that. And like you just seen how that's going to go down. When you call in and he's like, right away, the first thing he said, I'm going to have to strongly disagree with your stance on how to fix the industry. You didn't hear me get defensive. I just said, oh, okay. Well, explain to me how or why you disagree. That's how a conversation needs to happen in this country. I go down social media, and I disagree with a statement that is being said, and I don't do it rudely. Well, sometimes I do, but I not no. I used to. I've gotten a lot better about that. I get on there and I state my point, and I think this would be better. I think that would be better, and nobody can have a conversation anymore. Right away, it goes into attack mode, and I appreciate that caller because he calls in. He didn't go on attack mode. He disagreed with what I said and stated why. And you know what? I happen to agree with him. Less government. And you know what? I'm a man. I can stand up and say, you know what? Okay. I can see now that my opinion, I might have been wrong. And now I know I was wrong. He's right. I agree with him. Less government interference. What say you, Chris?
Well, you know, thanks to Facebook algorithms these days, you know, if we have a disagreement over whether banana nut muffins are better than blueberry muffins, that can result in a fist fight, you know, because we just hate each other that much because we've just been getting pitted against each other, you know, for the last few years now. And that's all it is. Everybody kind of taking a, it has to be this way or you're an idiot moron. I don't know. I think, you know, social media has kind of taken the consequence aspect out of being a complete asshole to people. You know, if you talk to people in the bar the way you talk to them on Facebook, you know, you'd probably need to have your jaw wired shut for a few months. But on social media, people do it. And eventually that hatred, that divisiveness, you know, it heats up. It eats away at people. It gets people angry to the point that they start to go beyond just disagreeing online. And we start seeing it boiling out into the streets where, okay, well, now I hate you so much after cussing you out on social media for the last 3 years. Now I'm going to go out and beat you to death with a skateboard. That's where we are.
Basically, yeah. You know, I had a guy that followed me on my old Facebook account before I deleted that one. And I got a new one. And I certainly didn't send him a friend request because, honestly, I didn't want to listen to his bullshit anymore. No matter what I said or how I said it, he was completely against what I said. And he would argue to the death of him. And like a dumbass myself, I'd feed into it. And I've learned from him that if somebody has a different point of view, let them state their point of view. As long as they're not being rude or disrespectful about it, they have every right to have an opinion, just like you do. However, I do not have to engage in a conversation or an argument with that person because of their said different views. I can ask a question, see what their response is, and I can ask another question, but I don't have to be rude, disrespectful, and call people names. So this guy, I told him that numerous times over Facebook, and he didn't get the hint. Well, that went on for 6 months, maybe a year. Never seen the guy out. I knew I would eventually. Finally, I did run into him one night, and we happened to be at a bar. I was having beers. I was feeling good. And he sat there, and I come walking around the corner. Our eyes locked, and he instantly was uncomfortable. And I went over, and I sat down next to him, and I said, so, now that I'm here sitting next to you, would you like to say some of the things that you said to me on social media to my face? Are you threatening me? Are you harassing me? He started being really loud and belligerent. And I calmly just sat there and I smiled. And I said, no, I'm just asking you a question. Would you care to tell me to my face any of the things that you said to me on social media? You're threatening me. I said, not once have I threatened you. I've asked you a question now twice, the same one. And I'm asking you. And I said, that went on for 3, 4, 5 minutes. Finally, I looked over at him and I said, I ain't going to say his name because it's not important, but I said, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is if you're not going to say the same things you say to me on social media to my face, then don't say them on social media. You can disagree with me all you want, my friend, You don't have to share the same opinion as me, but if you're going to get on social media and basically attack my every opinion and thought, but you can't do it to my face, then you probably shouldn't be on social media and responding to anybody. And that's how I left the conversation. I didn't get mad. I didn't get angry. I smiled the whole time, actually, because he was acting so ridiculous. And that's how we all need to act. Just if you're not going to say it to somebody's face, don't feel like you have the freedom to say it to them on social media. And furthermore, a lot of the things these people are saying to people on social media are downright mean, disrespectful, and rude, to the point that people are committing suicide over it. And when you are that harsh to somebody over social media and attack them that bad that they feel they need to end their life, the problem was never their thoughts or opinions. The problem lies within you for being a hateful person. That's my thoughts on it, Chris.
Yeah. If we're ever going to fix this country, we have to learn to be more civil towards each other. And we have to quit falling for the divide and conquer scheme that's being played out by our government and the media, which is partnering with them. Because you know the old saying with divide and conquer. I mean, if we're the ones that they're dividing, who do you think it is they intend to conquer? And when they divide
Bingo.
And conquer, which do you think it's going to be one side that they conquer? No, they're going to conquer all of us. The government
you
might
know,
be on
I,
your
I'm
side,
glad,
today, but yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because I was watching, as I have for the last however long, live coverage of the Rittenhouse trial today. And they had live feeds going at the steps of the Capitol, right? And before I get on with this story, let me just say something about that. You're allowed your First Amendment right to practice freedom of speech and peacefully assemble, and yelling on bullhorns, Black Lives Matter, and No Justice, No Peace, and screaming as loud and being as obnoxious as you possibly can while a jury is deliberating a self-defense murder trial. But by God, you do not go to your school board meeting and speak up for your children or you are going to be deemed a domestic terrorist. I just wanted to bring up that little comparison there quick because I seen it today earlier today. I'm like, God damn, you know, that's right. But that kind of irritated me. But anyway, this guy was happy to be there, and I think at one point he said he was a Proud Boy, and he might not have been. I might have heard it wrong. I don't know what I heard. I do know what I heard him say, and he was with the Black Lives Matter protesters, and he walked up to them, and he had a loudspeaker. They had a loudspeaker. He went off on not a tangent, but what he said, he hit every possible nail on the head. But he said, listen, you ladies and gentlemen, you are out here screaming you want that this is racist and that this guy is a white supremacist. He didn't kill two black people, a white guy. He didn't kill people that were peacefully marching or protesting. He shot and defended himself against people that were attacking him that happened to be white. Okay? He said, why do we have to make everything racist in this country? He said, that is the politicians and the media dividing us. They do not want us to be on the same side. So what do? Every single thing that happens now with a lot of the far left Democrats, not all of them, but a lot of them, that no matter what happens in this country or anywhere, they're screaming racism, just like MSNBC. The truck driving community is made up of 55-year-old white males that voted for Trump. They're racist. That's the trucking industry. That's why we have a supply chain shortage. No, we don't have a supply chain shortage because of white 55-year-old truckers that voted for Trump. We have a supply chain shortage because your inept president doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. That's why we have a supply chain shortage. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I just get a little worked up sometimes. But, no, I wanted to bring that up. I listened to this guy on the Capitol steps, and they seem to be having a conversation, him and this it happened to be a black lady from Milwaukee, and she was yelling out her point, and she had valid points also. You know, some kid was stopped in Milwaukee and frisked for no reason, and I don't know the story behind it, so I ain't going to go into it, but I understood that she had a concern because of that. She doesn't want a police state. But they also have to remember that we have to have police protection. We cannot become a police state. I agree with that. We don't want a police state where the police are the judge, jury, and executioner. But if you look at statistics, and I'm going to say statistics because I know after I get done saying this, I'm going to be deemed a racist, and you can deem me whatever you want to deem me. I'm just giving you the facts. A good majority of the violent crimes that are happening in major cities, carjackings, robberies, murders, assaults, are happening from black people, shootings. And I'm not going to say I'm sorry for that because I'm not. I did not do that. I'm just telling you what the statistics show. So if you live in a big city, a metropolitan area, or in an inner city, your police officers have a very tough job to do. I'm not saying that all police officers are stand-up citizens. Some of them are crooked as hell. But remember the job that there's a lot of good officers out there. I mean, really good people. They are being told how to do their job, what to do with their job, the restraint they have to show or can't show or can show. You have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that a lot of the stuff that we're witnessing involving police shootings, or the lack thereof, or the lack of police involvement in violent crimes in bigger cities, this all comes from the top. Shit rolls downhill, ladies and gentlemen. It starts at the top. It goes down from the federal level to the state level and rolls right down to your local communities. If you want change in your community, be the change you want to be or you want to see. And that, run for public office. Get in charge. Be in charge. And manage those areas that you're so concerned about. That's all I can say about that. We have to change this whole country from within. And these radical ideologies that we should get rid of the police department and put in psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors? Are you going to go to a guy that's robbing a store, a 7-Eleven, with a 9mm? Are you going to go in there and ask him why he feels so angry? I mean, what the absolute hell is this country? I mean, where are we going here? Well, I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I mean, it's crazy times. There's a lot of people that don't have an understanding of what the street, you know, is really like. You don't have to be a police officer to laugh at the idea of a psychologist or a social worker responding to 911 calls. If you've spent any amount of time on the street at all, and you actually know what it's like to be around truly violent criminal people on a regular basis, you know that social worker can accomplish a damn thing other than landing themselves either in the hospital or in the morgue, unless they know how to defend themselves and have the tools to defend themselves against someone who's actually violent. Because, you know, Hollywood would have you believe that you speak a few soft words and you reason with people and they'll understand where you're coming from and they'll stop their act of violence. Nonsense. Okay. They will look at you, listen to your words, agree with you, slice your throat, steal your car, okay, and drive it down the road to the next carjacking. And I'm speaking just about violent people in general. So that whole notion is some Hollywood leftist stuff that's been baked up that just is not rooted in reality at all. Now, with that being said, as far as policing, you know, the cops need to chill. The cops need to chill. They are being rewarded for being hunters. And there's a certain degree of that you can agree with. but at the same time, being overzealous, they're stopping people for a whole host of reasons. They're overreaching, you know, they're kind of creating, they're getting creative with finding reasons to search people and pat people down and finding reasons to take custody for arguing with them for doing that. That's got to stop. We got to rein in the cops a little bit, you know, on that type of stuff. Because it is leading to confrontations that probably should have never happened in the first place. You know, you look at things like Freddie Gray out in Baltimore. Essentially, the cops were trying to arrest him because he was buying cigarettes, you know, by the carton, I believe. And then he was breaking the packs open and he was selling individual cigarettes. Okay, because...
That wasn't Freddie Gray. That was the other gentleman in New York City. That wasn't Freddie Gray, though. I don't remember that gentleman's name. The bigger fellow. That
Eric.
Yeah, that was a guy in New York City. But yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But yes, you are correct on that.
Yeah. All right, if I got the names mixed up there, but you know, essentially, well, you raise taxes on tobacco by like 300%, right? To the point that when you buy a pack of cigarettes, there's more money going to local, state, and federal governments in the form of taxes than there are the actual product itself. You make them expensive. And then what? You're surprised that people are actually going to try to take advantage of that by going out, buying a carton, and selling individual cigarettes to make a little bit of money? You know, I mean, that's what happened. You overtax people. They try to find ways around it. That's no surprise. And then, of course, you criminalize, you know, the actions of people trying to get around your overtaxation. But that's just one example of many where, again, we have the government creating the problem that it's now trying to come up with a solution to. And the solution always involves taking away a little bit more of your rights and giving a little bit more power to them. We have to reverse that trend in every aspect on everything in society. It's just, I don't know. It's a vicious cycle, and at some point, the people have to get together. They have to put their foot down. They have to say, enough's enough. Knock it off. Quit voting yourselves more power. Quit voting yourselves more taxes. Quit taking more of our money, because that's what they're doing. They're taking money off of your table so that basically your taxes can feed campaign contributors that just so happen to be lining their pockets. It's nothing more than absolute extortion. It's modern-day piracy in a legal way, and it's having drastic consequences on the public and how we treat each other, and we got to stop doing that to each other. We need to start seeing eye to eye. Our government's corrupt, thoroughly and totally corrupt. All it is a giant racket designed to take money away from you and everybody you know and give it to the people that are already too rich, because every rich person out there, they don't really want more money. It's not that they don't have enough material things. They have more material things than they could ever want. They want to be so incredibly wealthy that they are headline worthy. That's what it boils down
to.
They want to be headline worthy. Bill Gates.
You brought up that guy in New York, and I forgive me for not remembering his name, because his name, he certainly deserves his name to be out there as one of the stories that I believe, in my opinion, was one of the stories that was a result of the police's overzealous police officers. Another one I want to bring up, and I do remember this guy's name. His name was Walter Scott. Walter Scott was pulled over for a broken taillight in, and I don't remember which city that was. North Charleston, South Carolina. That's where it was. He ran from the cops because he had a warrant for $50 back child support or something on those lines. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculously minor. So he took off running, right? He was posing no threat to the cop. I mean, he didn't fight with it. He just ran away from the cop. Some guy starts videotaping, right? this cop, Michael Slager, shoots Walter Scott in the back as he was, like, I would say 30 yards away from him, maybe 50, but shoots him in the back as he's running away from him. There's an example of a bad police officer. And that police officer actually ended up going to prison for 20 years for that. That he was charged with second-degree murder on that one, as he should have been. I watched the video. I paid very close attention to the unrest. Sandra Bland was another one. She got a little mouthy with the police officers. But, yeah, she did, because she was smoking in her car, and a police officer's like, put your cigarette out. And she's like, no, it's my car. Why should I? Because I told you to. And she's like, no, Sandra Bland. And she was found dead in her jail cell. They said of an apparent suicide. And her family says, no, no way. And you know what? I'm just based off of what I've seen in there on that incident, their family may very well be right that there may be a big cover-up there. I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. That's my opinion. But there are certain cases. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, I was just going to say, because I want to give the correct credit as well, or not credit, but whatever you want to call it. The individual in New York City that was being arrested and died as a result of an illegal chokehold was Eric Garner.
Eric Garner, yes. I knew that name too,
yeah,
yes.
Freddie Gray was the one who died in Baltimore while in police
custody. In the
custody,
back of the police van.
In the transport van, and he died of apparent injuries sustained from the police beating.
Right. Yep, and we all know what's going on with Jacob Blake. That's who I was trying to talk about. But the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, resulting from the arrest or the shooting of Jacob Blake, the 29-year-old black man in Kenosha, that was wrestling with police officers and went to his car to retrieve a knife, is what they believe, and was shot in the back and subsequently paralyzed because of that. What bothers me about all of this stuff, and I didn't know we were going to get in this conversation tonight, but we're here, let's address it. What bothers me about all this stuff is that every single incident involving police officers in a shooting of a black man is deemed racist, and it was an unjustified shooting, and that's just simply not true. Eric Garner, how he died, despicable. Absolutely. Philando Castillo, he was shot on a traffic stop also for reaching for his wallet after he told the cop that he was a concealed carry permit holder. He said, my wallet's in my center console, and he went to reach for it, and he said, don't reach for the gun, don't reach for the gun, and they shot him and killed him. In my opinion, again, that was another incident where the cop got a little bit too trigger happy, and a man died because of it. Jacob Blake, that one's a whole different story. Take responsibility for your actions. Understand the fact that when you disregard a police officer's commands, especially when you're in the wrong, and they're trying to arrest you, and you fight with them, and you go for a weapon, the outcome's probably not going to be in your favor. So those are just certain instances. I can go to the Michael Brown case in Ferguson, Missouri, where I believe it was a stepfather come out and said, let's burn this shit down because Michael Brown was shot and killed. Well, listen, they did a forensic investigation on that, and it proved that Michael Brown was in the wrong. Again, he unfortunately paid for his, whatever you want to call it, with his death. I mean, he died because of it. But there's consequences to your actions. And this goes not just from the black community or the white community or police versus blacks or blacks versus whites or any of that. There's consequences for all of your actions. In everyday life, if you mess up and you make a mistake and you broke a law, you're going to have to pay for that. I have myself sat in jail because of decisions that I made that were not good, smart decisions. But you know what I did? I sat my time. I didn't fight with the police officers. I took what I had coming to me. I knew I was wrong, and I took responsibility. But, hey, I see we got another caller on here. Let's grab this one and see what their opinion is on all this stuff that we're talking tonight. So if your phone number ends in 1012, you're going to be on the air, and right now you're coming on the air. And we have, who are you, and who? What do you have to say? You're on the air, 1012.
You're breaking up. You here?
Yep, I'm here. Hello? Who do we have?
Sounds like he's got a bad connection. He might be in some hills or something. Why don't we come back to him? And it's,
I just took him off there, her, whoever that was. 1012, I'm sorry, we have bad connection. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and then I'll come back to you. I apologize. Your connection was bad, but I can't sit on the phone for too long and wait for connection to get better. So no worries. It happens. Welcome to today's technology, right? But, yeah, so anyway, we could have a very long show about racial inequality or you know, overzealous police. The bottom line is I support her blue. Do I support the bad ones? Of course I don't. No, who does? That's just something that we have to deal with. And guess what? That just doesn't happen in the policing. It happens in government. It happens in the trucking. It happens everywhere. There's just people that just happen to be bad people. They're just not good people. That's it. So anyway, let's move on because I get all. Yeah, there. That's me right there. See, I got a story sent to me that I thought was really interesting. This kind of goes back to Antonio Brown faking a COVID-19 vaccination card so he could keep his job. Unfortunately, nurses, doctors, military, police, healthcare workers, fire departments, EMTs, numerous people in this country have lost their jobs because they've decided not to take this vaccine, and they stood for what they believe is right, and I support them. But this comes out of Norfolk, Virginia. A Norfolk doctor has filed a lawsuit against Sentara Norfolk General Hospital this week. Okay. In this lawsuit, Dr. Paul Merrick, the director of the hospital's critical care unit, says Sentara's ban of its use to treat patients with ivermectin is deadly and against the law. I think it's criminal, it's immoral, and it's illegal, Merrick said. Can you understand the toll that takes that I have young patients in their 30s and 40s, who I have had to watch die, while the hospital prevented me from giving them the treatment I thought was in their best interest? Now, this struck a chord with me for a number of reasons. When you have healthcare centers telling a licensed physician, a licensed doctor, how to do his job, we are teeter-tottering on the brink of insanity and disaster. Furthermore, we have a lot of things going on around the world involving vaccine mandates, vaccines in general. Austria, just this last week, came out with people that are unvaccinated are no longer allowed to basically contribute to society. And in certain areas of Austria, which is Germany, basically, right, that went through the 1930s, Nazi Germany, all that good stuff. Now they are preventing vaccinated people from going anywhere. So now it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. You stay home. You are on lockdown. Australia, we already know what's going on down there. if you're unvaccinated, they treat you like you're scum. Germany has come out now and said that they are going to arrest people in if you are unvaccinated, arrest people, and they have governors actually calling unvaccinated people like the same words I heard coming out of Nazi Germany calling the Jews. They are calling the unvaccinated the same words. This, I shit you not. I wish I was kidding. This is disturbing to me. And Chris, I heard you wanted to weigh in on this. You go ahead, brother.
Well, yeah, you know, Austria was the home of 43 Nazi concentration camps. You would think there, of all places, we would know better than to go around labeling and shunning one particular group of people and saying these people are no longer allowed to participate in society. Like, you know, if you're in Austria, you should definitely be having that notion of, man, I feel like we've seen this shit before. And over in Australia, where they've got crazy stuff over there, QR codes and everything else to prevent people from being able to travel other side of their permitted areas. Oh, and I'm sorry, one more thing with Austria. The unvaccinated are only permitted to be outside of their homes for essential things like groceries or to go to their jobs if they have the proper credentials to allow them. Essentially, papers. Austria, okay? The home of 43 concentration camps are now, you know, singling out one group of people and saying they have to have travel papers. They have to have papers authorizing them to be outside of their homes. My God, if you're not waking up from this, I you're hopeless. You're hopeless. And then over there in Australia, you know, they're extending all these restrictions out even further into the future. I think they're up into 2023 now or something like that. Meanwhile, already started constructing what they call wellness centers. Okay? Fenced in government housing for the people that are ill or unvaccinated. How scary does that sound?
Well, reminds you of what they've been building in the United States? What do they name them here in the United States, Chris?
The FEMA camps.
Green zones.
In the green zones, yes.
Yeah, if you don't think this shit's coming down the line to us, you are sorely mistaken. Just because you haven't felt the effects of it yet, this is coming, folks. You can go right on the CDC website, and it will tell you that green zones exist. Of course, their definition of it are like, well, they're there. Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Don't even. I'm not listening to the CDC. Oh, and that reminds me, Chris, of an article. Why don't you touch base on that article, since we were talking about vaccine passports, mandates, and all this good stuff, about that article you sent me about Pfizer and the FDA?
Oh, you're talking about the 55-year review?
Yeah, that one. Hold on a second. Hold on.
There's something screwy around here.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead,
indeed,
Chris.
Okay, so a lot of people don't even realize what all is behind this. Number one, the so-called vaccines that are available for you to take, none of them have full FDA approval. The media has done a dance around the words, you know, a dance around with their words, and the current administration, the potatoes, Joe Biden and his cronies, they've danced around the words. They've led people to believe that these vaccines are fully FDA approved. They are not. There's only one actual vaccine, or mRNA, that does have full FDA approval, and that is the Pfizer products known as Cominardi. Here's the catch. Cominardi, as of yet, is not in production and is not available. Now, what's the difference? They say that it's got the same ingredients as the one that's out on the market. So what's the difference, you ask? Well, liability, for one, is the difference. You see, when you have an experimental use authorization, the manufacturer is shielded from liability. So if you take this product and it gives you any number of adverse reactions up to and absolutely including death, the manufacturer is shielded from you suing them for that, because experimental use, only to be used in emergencies. So by giving you the one that's been approved for experimental use and not giving you the one that actually has full FDA approval, you see, once you've got full FDA approval, guess what? You can sue the manufacturer at that point. Excuse me. And so if that doesn't throw up a red flag right away, again, we're trying to that hopeless territory. If you
if you have a cure for a disease such as ivermectin has shown positive, they say in the pretrial studies that ivermectin didn't show positive signs. I have evidence that proves otherwise. So if you have a treatment that treats a disease successfully, you cannot use, how does that go? You can't have an FDA.
You can't use the.
What the hell is that? Yes, thank you. Good Lord. You, some days my brain, yeah, that's what it is right there. Yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead, brother.
No. So there's that fact. They're keeping you from using the one that would allow you to sue if something goes wrong, if they permanently disable you or what have you, because you experimental use and you allegedly knew the risk of an experimental use drug. So they're shielding you from that. Then they're also blocking the ivermectin treatments, which are just like penicillin. You know what? Guess what? They use penicillin in horses too. But I think we all know that it's got human use as well. And the same with ivermectin. Ivermectin has been used prior to the pandemic for treatment of various ailments involving viruses and continues to be useful. And has even been shown to be useful against the COVID the COVID-19 virus. So they're blocking that because, as you said, if there's an approved treatment, then they don't want you using an experimental. In other words, the typical course here would be you can use the experimental if the approved treatments are not working, or if there's not an approved treatment known available. So they're just saying, okay, well, ivermectin's just, you know what, it's not an approved treatment. Therefore, the only thing that's available is this experimental use, and you got to use it, and no one can be held accountable for anything that goes wrong. So
correct.
And then you look at the fact that, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was heavily involved in pushing for the vaccines. They hold huge amounts of stock in all of the pharmaceuticals that are making the approved vaccine. And it's just now coming out. I saw it today. Someone has gone out and done the homework and tracked down the fact that Bill Gates and his foundation shelled out $319 million to media corporations, essentially buying media coverage that favored the use of their product. Again, knowing all this, if you can hear all that and not smell a rat, you know what?
You got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
I direct you to reach me on Messenger or whatever so that I can just go ahead and send you the title to that oceanfront condo in the tropical zone of western Iowa that I've got. And, you know, 10 grand. Just give me 10 grand, and I'll mail you the deed to it.
I don't have 10 grand. You know, here's another thing. You know, OSHA suspended the vaccine rule, right? Because a federal judge, the 5th District, is it the 5th District in Louisiana, I believe, right?
Federal court.
Federal court, anyway. They blocked the vaccine mandate for businesses with 100 or more workers, okay? So that, and then OSHA suspended the vaccine rule. What does Jen Psaki come out and say? She says on Thursday that businesses with 100 or more workers should go ahead and get their employees vaccinated. Now, you have a White House going against a federal judge's ruling and promoting what their plan was, disregarding our judicial system. What does that tell you about our whole judicial system? Thank God that we have a judicial system that still stands up for Americans. But when a White House goes against what they rule, rather than come out and say, you know what, we agree or we don't agree with the court's decision, but we completely support the court's decision because we are a nation of laws, and if that's what the court rules, then we will abide by that. But they didn't do that. They go against what they say and promote their ideology even more.
They've been trying to erode this whole idea, this whole pesky idea of the system of checks and balances that our Constitution provides. They want one party control. They want one party. We tell you what to do when you do it, no matter what. The courts, you know what? The courts can give their opinion, but that's all it is. It's an opinion. We're the ones that make the rules. And, you know, they're really trying to drive this idea. And the problem is they've used the media to get people, a large portion of the population, to rally behind their party's ideas so that they'll have popular support for disregarding constitutional restrictions on what they're trying to do. And Stalin had a really good word for those people, a really good title for those people, I should say. People as useful idiots. The reason they're useful idiots is, number one, they're very useful in rallying behind the totalitarian government as it takes shape. They couldn't do it if the entire nation was rebelling against them. They're heavily outnumbered, and they know that. So that's why it's necessary to divide and conquer, get a big, huge chunk of the population to rally behind your cause. And then once you've got their support to go in and create this totalitarian system, guess what? They no longer give a damn what you want. And that's the idiot part.
Exactly.
So the people that get behind it, they're very useful to the totalitarians coming in, and they're idiots because they don't realize that once those people have complete control, that they're going to do whatever the hell they want. They don't care who it pisses off because they've got the military in place. They've got the power. They've rewritten the rules. And now it's go ahead. You know, all these lefties that are pushing for this, as soon as this government gets the power they want and starts going against what they like, well, they're going to do what the left does. They're going to run out, and they're going to have their signs. They're going to try to throw a riot, and they're going to discover that under the new system, they get mowed down by machine gun fire.
Yeah, I just got a developing story out of Arizona, Tucson, to be exact. On the south side of Tucson, Arizona, an Arizona deputy was just found shot in his head inside of his car. Pima County Sheriff's deputies were on scene of a critical incident near Palo Verde Road and Julian Drive Thursday evening. The scene is near Interstate 10 and Irvington Road shortly after 3 p.m. local time. That was just a developing story that came across my wire, and I thought I'd share that with you guys since we're on the subject of, you know, back in the blue and police brutality and all that good stuff. There's another example of what happens and what these police officers have to go through, too. So, and we don't know what happened, if it was a suicide incident or whether it was a murder. We just don't know. So that's just a developing story I seen out of Arizona. For the rest of you that are listening, our phone number to call in is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. And then when you get on, just press number 1. That will let my switchboard know that you want to talk, and we'll bring you on air, and you can agree or disagree with us and share your opinion, your thoughts, and write live, right on air with us. And these are recorded radio programs. We do share these out after the episode. Like tonight we're on episode 9, and we label them episodes now, so we have a reference point to going back to a certain episode of subjects that we were talking about. But if you do want to get on air, 516-387-1733, press 1, and we will get you on the air. But, yeah, Chris, people don't understand. I don't know if they don't understand, if they're not well-versed in education or history. I see a lot of ignorant comments over social media, even involving the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And that's I really wanted to get to that tonight. And since we have about, I don't know, 27 or so minutes left, let's get to that. Kyle Rittenhouse's trial right now, we're in the third day deliberations, going on to the fourth tomorrow. I just seen a news report that somebody said that the jury is right now at a 6-6 vote. 6 want guilty, 6 say not guilty. And honestly, after 3 days in this trial, I would have to assume that it's going to be a hung jury. We see many trials like this that are very controversial. The trial where the black gentleman was shot in the back that we just talked about, that police officer, his first trial was a hung jury. So it wouldn't surprise me if the jury comes back tomorrow and says, we can't come to a conclusion, so it's a hung jury. It wouldn't surprise me. Now, what would happen after that? Well, the prosecution would then have the ability to either drop the charges or retry the case. And after I've seen the evidence and the witnesses, I think that would be a bad mistake on the prosecutor. But I'm no lawyer. I'm just a truck driver. So that's where we're standing on that. I really honestly thought we would get a verdict within 3 to 6 hours after the trial was over. But, boy, I've been wrong before in my life, and I was really wrong on this one. What are your thoughts on this one, Chris?
Well, I got to tell you, the first time I tuned in to actually watch the trial, of course, I at that time I didn't know what the prosecutor looked like, what the defense attorneys looked like, and I tuned in initially during the prosecutor's questioning of what's his name, Gage. Thank you. I can't say his name, but
yeah.
that line of questioning was going so bad with the answers that he was giving. I actually, for the first like 15 minutes that I was listening to it, I actually thought the prosecutor was the defense attorney.
Well, the DA put his hand in his face after that. He's like, oh my God. Like, that was bad.
I mean, I'm sitting here when he got him to say the things he did, some of the things he did, I was just like, oh, wow, that must, I thought, wow, that's like the, probably the, the most polite cross-examination I've ever seen by a defense attorney. But I actually thought he was the defense attorney for a little bit. And then I realized, oh, whoa, no, that's actually the prosecutor, and his star witness is really doing a bad job for him. But
yeah, and you know the news that popped out this week, though, too, Chris, was that the mayor of Kenosha, the lead detective, and the DA are all related. They're all from the same family. Don't you think that that trial probably should have been moved right out of Kenosha as soon as that correlation was discovered? Just a question.
I certainly think of interest there. I don't know if you can use that to paint, you know, that the jury has been tainted. That's ultimately the standard there, unlike in this trial. Yeah, just a horrible job. But that 6-6 deficit, that's pretty steep. You know, hung juries are pretty common, especially in controversial cases that seem to take an even split in public opinion. But, you know, it's usually 10-2 is a common split that you see, where you get 10 people that want to convict and 2 people that are holding out and saying, I just don't feel like, you know, the standard of reasonable, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt has been met. 6-6, that's a pretty steep deficit. You know, you might be able to swing people to vote another way. I don't think you're going to get 6 people. So I think you can pretty much write this off as a hung jury. And what you're waiting to see is, will the judge declare a mistrial? And if he does, is he going to declare one with prejudice or without prejudice?
Correct. Hey, we got another caller on the line. Let's take this caller, see what they have to add to the conversation. 9-6-8-7, 9-6-8-7. You are coming on the air as we speak. And who do we have tonight, and what do you want to add to the conversation?
Hey, name's Jason. What's up, Chris? What's up,
hey,
guys?
Jason,
how
what's happening?
Tonight?
This is the famous
man. Good, brother. What's happening?
They call me the Shawman. I'm not the one that's in prison, obviously, but I am the Shawman.
You'll always be medicine man.
Yeah, medicine man, Shawman, same deal. Okay.
Hey, brother, what's happening? What do you got to add to the conversation?
About the Rettenhauer case, I've been watching it pretty close here. I do believe you guys are right. As far as the hung jury goes, Chris was right earlier. As far as the hung jury goes, I believe they're going to hang the jury. The mob groups out in the streets after the fact. When the judge goes for the mistrial with prejudice, because the judge is holding on to those notes in his own pocket. He basically made that clear today after MSNBC was chasing down the jury's, you know, the jury bus yesterday, or last night, I should say. So that one right there, that's I think he's going to get with prejudice. I think he's going to walk. I honestly think Kyle's going to walk away from this one 100%.
You know, you brought up
he did nothing wrong.
You brought up a good point, Medicine Man. I forgot to mention this earlier in the programming. MSNBC was caught by Kenosha police tailing the bus
as well.
He was tailing the bus for of the jurors, and he gave up the name of his I believe his producer. I watch this story break all day long, by the way. And that producer, she got rid of her LinkedIn, her social media sites within hours of her name.
Everything that she had tied to that guy went away instantly.
Yes. So
basically
there's going to be some major news out of this one. this is huge.
So with the card the judge holds now, the judge is holding on to his verdict on the case. I mean, he could call a mistrial right now if he wanted to. When they released the footage, the drone footage, they gave it to the jury and the defense in 480 pixels. And what they had for the judge and basically the court was like 1900 pixels. I don't know if you know the difference, like 480p to 18. You know, your typical 4K TV right now is 180. That's 1900.
It's
they gave it to the jury at 480.
It's clarifying. Yeah, it's a more clearer picture. At the
so
higher
you're
the number,
basically
correct?
Putting on the drunk goggles for the jury, taking them off for the court. Essentially, is the breakdown.
Right.
And I mean that you know the difference in the pixels. The fact of that matter, the judge is holding on to that card, in my opinion. Hey, we're going to see what the jury says. And then even at that point in time, to protect the jury, I think he's still at that point in time, if they say, hey, he's cut clear, he's free, he's done, he did nothing wrong, I don't find him guilty. You guys didn't find him guilty. We're going to go with, the prejudice. We're going to go down that road. I think he's going to do that for protection of the jury themselves. That'd be on
I
my again, opinion, which is smart.
No, I agree with you.
It seems like he actually has half a brain. The judge does. I mean, he's been chewing on that prosecution like nothing else. He has been.
Yeah, no, I happen
over.
To agree with you on that.
So that's
no.
My,
I,
that's my
I, it's going to be interesting.
We're gonna watch and see. I'd say tomorrow we're gonna have something come from it. I don't think it's going to go through the weekend. And then we're going to watch.
No, I don't
turn
think so
to shit. And then the National Guard's down there. The National Guard's not down there to protect the city. Down there to protect the courthouse. That's my opinion as well. Again, it's not down there to protect the city.
Well, did you see that news story that come out now that they found bricks in alleyways on pallets all over Kenosha?
There's videos. I don't know. Can I throw out props to online interwebs? Services on here
sure.
or not? Gab,
absolutely.
GAB.com. Check it out. It's a not. They don't censor you. Get on there. Check it out. You got to find the groups. It's basically a Facebook platform, but you can just speak your mind. You can get in with groups and get in with good people. Everybody.
And repeat that one more time.
Check it out. Check it out. Gab. GAB.com. They do not offer that as an app like they do Facebook, Twitters, and, you know, Instagrams on your, you know, your online phone store. You actually have to look it up online, and it's a great platform. I get a lot of information from there to start, and then, learning through this whole COVID ordeal, finding doctors and the research they do overseas as why I will not get vaccinated and why I feel firmly that death jab is literally a death jab, and anything that they come with it, the vaccine, so they say, is essentially just a population, you know, control device. That's my opinion as well.
Dude,
do research
that,
on it.
That brings me up a story that I heard out of Israel that these people that have been jabbed three times are displaying HIV AIDS-like symptoms where
there is actually
their
HIV
system is completely
inside
depleted.
Of the vaccine.
Yes, this new pill from Pfizer is actually an HIV medicine that they treat HIV patients with. And they started adding, I just read this. I'm on Telegram. And by the way, those of you that listen, go to Telegram and join my Telegram page, The Disrespected Trucker. But the vaccines now also have heart attack medicine in with the vaccines because – the myocarditis
aspirin.
And pericarditis was, yeah.
It's in your blood.
That's
essentially what it is. They did that here about a month
this,
and
this
a half
is getting
ago.
Crazy.
They were actually talking about the pills. Yeah. So they're going to give you aspirin to combat what the vaccine's going to ultimately do to you over time, regardless. It's just going to slow it down. So, hey, you know, there's not so many people dying now. You should get it and then...
It's depleting your immune system, ladies and gentlemen.
It is
literally depleting your
15%.
Yeah.
The first jab is 15%. That's what they found overseas. Israel, Italy has also found that, and that was also I can't remember the other country. They did research on it. I can dig into it, and I can push this stuff over to you guys. But they literally are stating overseas the information you can't find here in the United States. First shot, 15%. Second shot, 35%. Any booster thereafter, the only way that you survive is getting a booster shot, whatever the government gives you at that point in time, thereafter, period. That's the only way you survive. So when do you become substantial enough for them to keep you alive, ultimately, with these jabs? It is disgusting what they're doing. And the way that they're pushing it in the media.
It is.
The media, what the media is doing with this. I mean, look at the court cases. Look at what they're doing with the court cases. What do you think they're doing with the commercials on the TV to tell you to get the death jab? I mean, just so on and so forth. That's just so disgusting. It is utterly.
10,000.
Oh, my God.
10,000 doctors and scientists across the world have filed a class action lawsuit against the FDA, the CDC, and the WHO. And you don't hear a damn word about it in the media. And yet I still hear people.
Word.
Do your part, save lives, and get vaccinated. You have not done, have not done research
save
beyond
your
nose.
Save your bleeding heart BS because I didn't see you wearing a mask the past 10 years because of the flu bug. Now you hear them talking about the influenza pandemic that is soon to come, and they don't know when it's going to hit. All over.
Yeah,
you guys,
because you got vaccinated and you depleted your damn
influenza. you don't have an immune system left. So now the
flu's
going to come back this year.
It depleted your immune system.
Disappeared last year? There was no flu
last year.
What was it, 2,000 people?
You know
died?
What? I had somebody I had somebody very close to me, and I said, go on the CDC website, and I want you to look up flu case numbers from 2019 to 2020. Yeah. They went on there and looked. They said, well, it says record low numbers.
None.
I said, why do you think that is? And they said, and I ain't going to say who it was. They said, well, because people were wearing masks. I said, so then how in the hell, if they were wearing masks, did they catch coronavirus? Because not everybody was following that order. I said, okay, so then how the hell did they not get the flu then? No answer.
The ignorance.
I mean, you've got to use your
humanity.
Head here, folks. Right. But, hey, I got. I appreciate you calling, Medicine Man. I got 10 minutes left, and we got a few things. And hey, thanks for calling, my brother.
All right, brother. Have a good one, you guys.
All right. All right, that was Medicine Man. He called in last week, too, and we sure appreciate everybody's input. We're winding down the show tonight. We got Chris has got to get up early in the morning. I got a long day tomorrow, too, so we're only going to do this 2 hours tonight. Sometimes, like last week, we went 2.5, and I'm sure there'll be times we'll go 3. We have three hours allotted to us, but there's so much to talk about that we literally could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours, but it's best if we try to keep your attention too. Yeah, so, we have 11 minutes left, and we do honestly we appreciate your phone calls and your opinions and your thoughts, and you know even if you don't agree with us, that's cool. What say you, Chris? Let's finish this up the next 10 minutes and let's kind of recap everything we talked about and what. My mind is a jumbled mess, my brother.
Well, I tell you, this latest breaking story, the 55-year thing, and we kind of got sidetracked where I was explaining the difference between Comirnaty versus the actually available vaccines. Someone actually filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the FDA asking for available data from the Comirnaty vaccine that was approved. And they are now asking that a court give them 55 years bond to that request for data. You don't ask for 55 years to reveal information unless you're trying to hide something.
Correct.
That to me, again, if that does not bother you that they're trying to dodge your Freedom of Information Act request on the ingredients and the effects of this approved medication for 55 years, again, I have multiple units available at that oceanfront property in Western Iowa, the tropical section of Western Iowa. People, please hit me up and for 10 grand, I will send you a deed to one of them. Every one of them has just as good a view as the others.
I don't even know what to say anymore, man. I had somebody say to me the other day, they said, you know, I keep on posting on my social media, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I post story after story after story after story, hoping that somebody, that it's going to set a trigger off in somebody's brain, like, wait, why are they doing this? But, you know, this person responded to me, and they said, Jeremy, there's one thing you got to understand. If they have not woken up by now, they never will. They are part of the crowd that's just completely lost. She happened to tell me, don't mistake that with them being stupid. They are part of the crowd that have successfully been programmed and brainwashed. No matter how you put it, what examples you show them, or evidence that you show them the truth, they're going to call you a liar. And this is where I get upset with Donald Trump, the whole phrase fake news. As much as I agree with that phrase, fake news, now the far left has turned that against real news, real truth, and call it fake news because they didn't hear it on CNN, or they didn't hear it on MSNBC, or they didn't hear it on Fox News, or they didn't hear it, you know, I can go on and on and on. That's what bothers me about that phrase, fake news. Even though I do agree with Trump, fake news. We got one more caller, and let's bring them on. We got 7 minutes left, Chris. Let's hear what they have to say. I don't ever want to not let somebody get on air if they have something to say. So 6741, 6741, we're going to bring you on right now, 6741. And who do we have?
Good evening.
And what would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, you guys were talking about you putting out the information that you put out all the time. And this is short stack, by the way. But
I know.
I was on the phone yesterday coming across, and I was talking to my mother. And we got to talking about something about the schools and all that. And I said, so has my nephew, they got him vaccinated yet? And she's like, no, they're not going to. I said, holy cow, they actually saw the light. She's like, now stop, stop, stop. I says, what? I mean, they were right there in the front row to get it. I says, what's stopping them from giving it to him? And she's like, they don't think it's necessary to give to him. I says, well, I'm glad to hear that, because I'll tell you right now, I hope and pray that what I truly feel is going to happen in the next 3 to 10 years with everybody that took this shot does not happen. I hope I'm wrong that doesn't happen. And she's like, I don't want to get into it. I took it because I thought they were telling us we needed to take it. I said, yeah, I understand it, but I don't trust what they got to say. And from the information I've seen, I hope and pray that I am wrong, that the information I've read and what I believe is wrong in the next 3 to 5 years. Because I don't want
you know
to
what?
Bury my family.
No, mine too. My daughter, my ex-wife, whom I get along with very well yet, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister-in-law, a lot of people that I love and care about have all taken this vaccination. My son is the only one that stands beside me in my close family that refuses to get the vaccination. And I had a conversation with him the other night, and I said, I'll just call him son. I said, son, I said, are you not getting vaccinated because of my rhetoric or my beliefs and the things that I speak about, or are you making your own decision? He goes, and my son has Brugada syndrome. It's a heart defect. We have since went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester numerous times, and they did a heart ablation, and which means they went up through his groin, his main vein in his groin, up into his heart, and he had nerve endings in his heart that would trigger his heart to go into fast mode. So, like, when he was younger, me and him would be sitting watching cartoons, and all of a sudden he would turn pale white, and his heart would be beating out of his chest, and it looked like he just got done running a marathon. And it triggered for no reason. So they went in through his groin, and they burnt those nerve endings off that were attached to his heart. He's been free of those symptoms for quite a while now, and they just informed us that if by the age of 23 or 24 or something on those lines, if he has no more symptoms, they will consider him Brugada-free, basically, and he doesn't have that ailment. So, of course, my ex-wife is in the medical field, and she is worried about his condition. And I had a conversation with my ex-wife last night, and I told her that I'd had a conversation with my son, and my son assured me that this was his decision, which I thank God it is. I want him to be his own independent man. But I had a conversation with my daughter, too, and she did not tell me about her getting vaccinated because she was scared of my reaction. And I told her what I did find out, I said, listen, the bottom line is this is your body. I can just tell you what I have heard, the articles I've read. I could try to educate you with it as far as what I've read. At the end of the day, I am not a medical professional. And at the end of the day, it is your choice. And that is our stance and my stance to everybody. At the end of the day, if you feel that this vaccination is your choice and it's best for you, then you go get that vaccination. But I should also have the right and the choice to say, you know what, I don't think this is in my best interest, so I'm not going to get it. But they don't want that because the government has said, go save lives. Save lives and get vaccinated. Don't be selfish. The media has been pushing this really, really hard, and that scares the ever-living shit out of me. And it should scare the vaccinated also that they're trying to push people to make a different decision than what they are. They're telling people that they're uneducated. They're telling people that they're being selfish, just like they did to the Jews in Nazi Germany, ladies and gentlemen. And I hate to even bring that up as a comparison, but it's a viable comparison. And it's not right. And I'm going to tell you right now that I will never get that vaccination as long as this government is telling me to go get it, especially after we have video evidence of Joe Biden say, I ain't going to get that vaccination. Are you going to get it? Are you going to be the first one to get that experiment? I ain't going to do that. And Kamala Harris coming out and saying, when Trump was in office, I'm not going to get that if Trump tells me I have to get it. Why would I do that? I'm not listening to him. And now all of a sudden they've did a complete 180, and not a complete 180 peacefully, to the point where they said, hey, now we're mandating that you get vaccinated. It's like, you know what? How dare you? How dare you turn your stance like that around on me, you hypocrites? But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's been a two-hour show. We got 30 seconds left. Short Stack, I appreciate you being on, my brother.
Hey, you guys have a good night.
And, yeah, catch you later, man. And we've talked about a lot of stuff tonight, and we're going to talk about a lot more stuff in the near future involving a lot of the government projects, and we're going to get into them deep. So you guys, we're going to educate you. We're going to get into you deep. We're going to run over just a little bit over 2 hours, okay, Chris? Just a hair bit. What's that, Chris?
So we didn't even get into the reconciliation bill tonight.
No, and shit. You know, if you got to go, brother, at any time, if I see you leave, I understand. By the way, Chris has got to get up early in the morning. I am going to get into the reconciliation bill right now before we get off of here. The reconciliation bill, Kat Kamak from Florida was told that they're going to vote on that. And I don't know if they voted on it tonight or not. I called my representative out of Minnesota. Her name is Michelle Fishbach. I talked to one of her people, and I informed them to vote no on this reconciliation bill. And if you're listening, please, please, please go to house.gov, house.gov. Don't call your senators right now. Call your congressmen, your representatives in your district. Go to house.gov, enter your zip code. It will let you know who your congresswoman is or congressman is, or whatever. Then don't dial the number that it gives you on that because you get to a switchboard and it's confusing. Go to Google search and Google search your congressperson's name and find out how to contact them and call their office directly and leave your message directly with one of their people so it gets back to your congressperson. That is your best way of getting involved and being vocal. What is going on with this bill, this reconciliation bill, is absolutely insane. This will not only affect our lives, but it will affect our grandchildren's lives, our grandchildren's grandchildren's lives. This will completely destruct America with the spending. Number two, the things that are put in this. On page number 8, according to Kat Kamick, representative out of Florida, that they have money set aside for tree equality. Tree. Yes, T-R-E-E, tree equality. To study tree equality. Okay? On page 1800 or 1900 or 1700, follow Kat Kamick. It's K-A-T, Kat, and then C-A-M-M-A-C-K. Watch her live videos. She's out of Florida. She's the youngest congresswoman currently serving in Washington, D.C. And on page 17, 1800, or 1900, I can't remember what page, they want to make it a requirement that you have to have a college education in order to be a daycare provider, a college-educated daycare provider. You cannot have a daycare if you're not college-educated, if you don't have a college degree. They are attacking small businesses at an alarming rate, and they are not stopping. And if this bill goes through, this reconciliation bill, this country is in deep shit, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. What is inserted into this 2,000 and some page bill is, I'm not even going to say the word that I'm thinking, but it's not going to help you. As much as you might believe Joe Biden and say, we have to get the Build Back Better plan passed in order to help all Americans, whenever the government says, I'm the government and I'm here to help, you need to get the fuck away immediately. And that's what's happening right now. Chris, add in that. I don't want to go on too long about it because I know you got to get up early, but go ahead and insert your thoughts on this.
Well, the Build Back Better, you know, that's an interesting slogan. And ironically enough, it didn't originate with the Biden administration. If you're the typical American consumer of media information, you probably think that Build Back Better is just something that came straight from the Biden administration. But in actuality, it's a slogan of the World Economic Forum. Are you familiar with the World Economic Forum?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The World Economic Forum, and this is not a conspiracy theory, folks. This is something that is, it's out there. All you got to do is look it up. It's out there. It's open. It involves a lot of high-caliber people, prominent leaders from around the world, including America. And
that happened to meet at the Bilderberg Group every couple of years, correct?
Right, right. And they're openly calling for what they're calling the Great Reset. And of course, again, there's so many things these days that get labeled a conspiracy theory because mainstream media is not talking about it. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is an actual organization. They're open about their intentions, what they would like to see happen. They have a website. They have video clips. This is all out there for you to find. if you have the motivation to do something other than read a two-second headline, which seems to be the majority of Americans, all they want to do is read headlines and think they're informed. It's out there. And what they want to see is essentially because of all the economic damage caused by the pandemic lockdowns, which I think arguably was the whole purpose of the pandemic lockdowns, was to create the financial crisis that's unfolding worldwide. They want to reset all the economies, just wipe the slate clean, start at zero, and essentially bring about a one-world currency. And in order to get people to go along with that, well, it's really helpful if you can collapse your current economy. And when you look, if you kind of understand what's going on, when you look at the policies of this administration, everything is about killing small business. Everything is about creating all sorts of shortages. They're basically creating a financial crisis, and that is my firm belief. They are all about crushing the small businesses, which is going to create widespread employment problems, widespread financial problems. It's going to create shortages in everything required to run our economy. We're starting to see that with the supply chain issues. And if they can collapse our economy, and once again, I'll bring it up again, I bring this up every episode, the Cloward-Piven plan, which is literally the 8-step strategy for how to destroy a capitalist nation so that you can force it into a socialist country, which then becomes a communist country. One big part is that you have to basically destroy the economy. You have to collapse the economy, and you have to create widespread government dependency. Why? If everyone's depending on the government to live, to have a house, to have food, and people will go along with that when they're starving, okay? People who are well-fed aren't going to go along with the idea of destroying the economy so that they can be depending on a government for food. But if we can destroy the supply chain and collapse the economy and we're literally starving people and people are desperate, they'll beg the government to do whatever the hell it has to do to keep them from starving to death. And that's the whole point of the exercise. And I think that's where we are. And, you know, we've seen the attacks on small business from the farmers and the ranchers. They've attacked the owner-operators in the trucking industry. Then they brought in the pandemic lockdowns. And with the pandemic lockdowns, they went after the people that owned restaurants and bars and small clothing shops, you know, because, you know, if you just ran a small clothing store, you were shut down, but Walmart could sell jeans, and that was fine, right? We saw these huge transfers of wealth from everybody being forced to buy, you know, their products from these huge retailers like Walmart, Target, Home Depot, you know, the Fortune 500 companies that were allowed to stay open, while the independently owned places were forced out of business. And this is what we're seeing. Just it's playing out. Look up the World Economic Forum. Listen to some of their videos. Read some of the things they're talking about. And you'll realize that all the events that are required to lead up to this great economic reset are happening right now. Everything's unfolding. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a real thing. And it's happening, and it's plain as day. And again, all it requires is that you be a little bit more vested in your future than reading headlines. You know, you know what? 20 years ago, if you wanted to be that person, okay. 30 years ago, probably a little more understandable. At this stage in the game, if you haven't stood up and taken notice of what's happening and recognize that there's cause for alarm, and you don't realize that something's not quite right, well, again, I just want to direct you to my tropical zone of Iowa and the real estate possibilities I have for you there.
And research while you're doing that research. Go ahead and look up the Bilderberg Group. The Bilderberg Group. And just do your – and by the way, when you do these researches, don't do it on Google, please. Go to DuckDuckGo so it's not traced. because Google, they're tracking everything that you search. And I can only assume why they are doing that, because they want to know the people that are actually informed of what is actually going on. So, I mean, it's too late for me. I've done too many Google searches on odd subjects that they already know who I am. But go to DuckDuckGo search engine and use that. And look up the word, the Bilderberg Group. Starting next week, obviously we're going to probably have a lot to talk about the decision on the Rittenhouse trial. But I do believe I'm going to have some conversations with Chris this week. And we're going to put a list together of so-called conspiracy theories of government projects that have actually happened on the American people and the world that involve the CIA and other organizations that the government fund. One of them is the Tuskegee experiment. We're going to educate you. We're going to dive right into these government funded projects that have been happening for many, 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 many years. And I think in the upcoming weeks, we are probably going to blow a lot of your minds that our government is capable of some pretty evil shit. So with that, and on that note, Chris, I think we've talked long enough tonight. You got to get to bed. I got to get to bed. And as always, it's been enjoyable for me. And we had some great callers again tonight. We appreciate you and your opinions and your thoughts. Please join us next week. And come and follow us on Facebook, the page and the group, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And share that out to your friends and tell them to take a listen. And even if you know they won't agree with us, tell them to take a listen. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to educate you. We're going to go straight to the archives of what the government's been responsible for, programs. The Iran-Contra scandal, Oliver North. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on. You guys, your mind is going to be blown. But
Gary Webb,
share us out. Yes, 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 Gary Webb, yes. But, yeah, share us out. Let your friends know about this. If they And you can replay us during the week. We will start sharing our episodes out every single night after our episode. Like tonight, I'll share this out on our Facebook page. Share that episode out. Let people listen to it when they get time. I get it. Not everybody's available on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. or 7 to 9 or 7 to 10. Share this out. They can re-listen to this later on. 2 days from now, whenever they get time. But I guarantee you that once they start listening to some of our episodes, especially coming up, we are going to dive into a lot of government-funded programs that a lot of people haven't really read up on, and we are going to spend a good 2 hours or an hour and a half of it, of our program, on discussing what these programs are, who they affected. And we're going to go right down the list, and there's a big list. Trust me, you're going to get educated, and I'm not going to claim that I am an expert at any of these subjects. I am just going to read you what my research has brought me to. Me and Chris will pick a subject every week, and me and Chris will go through it every week together, and we will discuss it together every Thursday night on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show from 7 to maybe 10 p.m. Central every Thursday night for your listening pleasure. Anyway, Chris, as always, it's been a spectacular roller coaster of emotions tonight, and I appreciate you being the co-host on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and I hope you have a great night, my brother.
All right, you as well. And seriously, folks, don't take our word for anything. Research the stuff we're throwing out there. Listen to the keywords and look it up on DuckDuckGo, because when you look it up on Google, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to send you 100 entries of so-called fact checkers explaining why the stuff we're saying isn't true. But if you look on DuckDuckGo, they're gonna give you links to take you straight to the sites that give you the actual info of what we're talking about.
Exactly. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end the show with a little bit of Jack and Diane. I hope you all have a spectacular night, and God watches over each and every one of you, and God blesses each and every one of you. If you're going through hard times, please don't be afraid to reach out and talk to people that you love and care about. Your life is worth it. We love you. Have a good night.
About Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star, Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on chili dog, outside taste free. Diane's sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between his knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees. Dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please. Say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone, to walk on. Checks his back, flexes his box for the moment, scratches his head and does his best James Dean. Well, then there, Diane, gotta run off to city. Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. But Jack say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone. Oh yeah, let's play, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone. Two American kids doing best they can.